You know, in the last several months since the feast, just before the feast, one of the members in Phoenix, who was a relatively young man of around 50-something, died kind of suddenly. We've had a lady up in northern Arizona who is in her 70s, and she died just recently due to complications of cancer and a few other things. About a week ago, I did a funeral for a young man who had committed suicide out of frustration, and he had been in the church but had not attended for some time due to his stressful life. I did a funeral yesterday for a young man who was not in the church either, but his grandmother called and his mother called and asked if I could do the funeral, age 23, who died of a drug overdose. There's a young man up in northern Arizona that I've mentioned to you, Dale Demers, who is 40-something years old and has cancer in his brain as well as the rest of his body. And he has children at home. He has grandchildren. You think about death, and you think about, what if I were to be the next person? I want to go somewhere today, based kind of on the thought of the genie. And you've all seen the stories of person finds this bottle on the beach and rubs the bottle and the genie comes up and is granted three wishes. A little takeoff on that. Let's say that an angel appears suddenly to you. And you are told by this angel that you have 3 months to live. And the angel relates to you that he's sent to you by God to tell you that you have 3 months to live and there's one lesson that you need to learn before you die and are able to be resurrected in a part of the kingdom of God. And if you can't learn that lesson, you can't be in the kingdom. He doesn't tell you what it is, because he wants you to find out. He wants you to internalize this great lesson that God wants you to learn before you die. He doesn't want you to do it just because he told you what it was and you work hard to do it. He wants you to make it a part of the 3 months you have to live. So you have a talk with the angel. And the talk with the angel might go something like this. Well, you need to figure out that one thing that you need. The one thing you need to learn before you die. He says, well, I guess it must be that God wants me to keep the commandments. Right? Because keeping commandments is so important. And if we don't keep the commandments, we won't be in the kingdom. But, you know, I've done that from my youth. Well, you're warm. You're warm, but you've got to be specific. Because like you said, you've kept the commandments from your youth. What is it that God wants you to learn? Well, then, to be specific, it must be the Sabbath. The Sabbath, because that's a sign between God and his people, and the holy days go along with that. And, you know, I keep the Sabbath, and I guess just keep doing that, right? Well, you know, the Jews keep the Sabbath. The Pharisees kept the Sabbath. Seventh-day Adventists keep the Sabbath. And you've been keeping the Sabbath all along. It's something he wants you to know that you don't quite get yet. Well, you know, with all the stuff that's been going on, I know what God wants of me. He wants me to catch others not obeying God. He wants me to be able to discern that this person's not keeping the Sabbath like they ought to. He needs me to point that out to him, to maybe catch somebody in adultery in the very act. And that's what God wants of me, to be sure that they're doing the right thing. Or if I can catch somebody lying or deceiving, and yeah, Yeah, God would want me to point that out. And I got 3 months to do that. And I can point out the flaws in the leadership. Man, there's plenty of those. I can be on a roll the next 3 months, man. I can roll them out. Just like there were faults and flaws with Peter and with Paul. And yeah, that's it. You know, you're getting real cold now. Not even close. God wants you to learn one thing, and that isn't it. It says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And God's not that interested in you finding out what everybody else is doing. Well, make a big donation to the church. I mean, after all, I'm checking out. I can just give everything. And I'll just make this big donation. Now, still cold. Tithes and offerings are necessary, but it's not the tithes and offerings that God wants. Remember, the widow's mite wasn't the size of some offering. There's an attitude involved. I know, more faith. I got 3 months to build more faith. And if I just have faith that, you know, I could move mountains and work at that. Yeah, that's what I'll do. I need more faith. You ever read that faith without works is dead? So just having more faith, do you think that's what God's after? Okay, then more works. I can do more works. I know I can do better. I've been doing works, but I can do more works. And then faith and works, and that's what God wants. What are you saved by? Are you saved by your works? Doesn't he say you're saved by grace? Okay. By grace, so believe. I need to believe more. And if I can believe in the sacrifice of Jesus, then that's what God wants of me. The devils believe and tremble. So is it just more belief, even in the grace of God? Is that what he wants? Okay, find the right church. And there's a bunch of them out there. And if I can just find the right church, I mean the ones that are really, really God's people. And if I can be there, and if I can just hang on to that for 3 months, then I can be in the kingdom. I can be saved then. And I'll be under their authority for 3 months. Rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and if I just don't rebel for 3 months, I'll be all right. Well, there's no other name under heaven whereby one must be saved. It's Jesus Christ, not a church organization that saves you. Does being under authority alone mean that you're right with God? Oh, maybe not. I know. I need to know more truth. I just don't know enough. And God sent you to tell me that I just don't know enough stuff. But I got 3 months, and I can just know more stuff. You know, actually, with the truth thing, you're getting warmer, but you're still not hot. You're still not there. You're getting a little bit close. You have to be more specific. Oh, I know, truth. Okay, truth. That was a good clue. I need to go on the internet, and I need to find out the truth. If I do more blogs, I promise I'll do more blogs. Got 3 months. I'll get myself on Facebook. I can get 1,000 friends in 3 months. I know that I can do better. I can get on the blogs, the websites, and I can get on the phone more, and I can find out more truth and find out who's telling the truth and who's lying and who's good and who's bad. I know I can do that. Okay, you're getting cold. You're getting way cold. This is not even close now. You're starting to get warm with the truth, but that's not where God wants you to go. Okay, I got it. I'm no dummy. I was raised in the church. John 17:17, memory scripture. Thy word is truth. I got to get more in the Bible. I'll even buy a bigger Bible. And I'll study it in 3 months. And I've got 3 months and I can read it through several times and get on this massive Bible reading program and just study the Bible and learn more. And I can know so much by the time that I die in 3 months that God will need me then in the kingdom to know all that stuff. And I could even learn some Hebrew and Greek. Yeah, it'll be tough, but I think I can do it. And I can figure out, make sure we're keeping the right day for Passover. Let's see, am I going to be alive by then? Anyway, we got to figure that out, right? More truth. Okay, back up a bit from the Bible reading program, the Hebrew and Greek, right day for Passover. Just back up a little bit and think truth. You're getting warmer. But I see the truth. I mean, I've known the truth since God called me. And you know, when I was just a kid, I was taught the truth, and I know these truths, and I hold them dear. I know the truth. What more does God want of me? What is it? What's this thing that he wants? Well, let's look at that word of truth. Look at the word of truth and see if you can figure out what it is that God wants of you before you die. So let's turn to John chapter 1. Turn to John, 1 John chapter 1. And we'll see what God has to say about truth. And then see what he means by that truth. And I think it can help you see what it is that God wants of you before you die. 1 John 1 and verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Okay, so it's something that I'm doing wrong, but I just don't see it? That I haven't really repented of? That is the thing that I need to learn? Is that thing that I'm doing wrong and haven't quite internalized or see? Just tell me, is that it? And what is it? You just keep reading and let's see what God has to tell you from his word. 1 John 2 and verse 3. By this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. Well, I already told you I keep the commandments. I thought we were there and you told me that wasn't it. And now you're telling me it's the commandments. Well, I already said be specific. And I told you you've got to look at a specific thing that God wants you to know, that God wants you to learn. And God wants you to live. Well, come on, you be more specific. Just give me a clue. What is it that God wants me to learn? You want a clue? God has been giving you clues all along. He's been dropping clues in your lap, particularly through all this church crisis stuff. You've been getting clues. You got to look for the clues. And you got to look into the Word of God and see what it is that God wants from you from all of this. Keep reading. 1 John 2, verse 5. Whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know we are in him. 1 John 2, verse 9. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So I might not be seeing this lesson because I'm blinded by sin. I might not be seeing what it is that God wants me to know because I don't understand love and what that really entails. What do you think? Keep reading. 1 John 2 and verse 22. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? But I haven't denied Jesus. Are you sure that you haven't? 1 John 3 and verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. But I'm basically pretty righteous. So I practice righteousness. I do all these things. Verse 10, 1 John 3. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We've heard about it all our lives. But what do we do with it? Well, now you're going all Protestant on me. This love stuff. You know, I've heard that stuff before. And, you know, next to be telling me we don't have to keep the Sabbath because we love. You know, I've heard that love is keeping the commandments, and that's what I do. Look, do you want to know the mind of Christ or not? Do you want to create God in your image, or do you want God to create you in his? Do you really want to know the one thing you need to know before you die? Then let God tell you what love is. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoso has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let's not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Verse 19, by this we know we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Well, so then it's back to work, so I just give my money to the needy and then, oh, just shut up and keep reading, will you? Let God talk. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let's love one another. For God, love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Well, so then it's back to believing in Christ and his sacrifice, right? And I've done that. And I love God. And I love Jesus Christ. And I love God's people. You know, that's what Peter said when Jesus asked him if he loved him. He said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yeah, of course. He says, do you love me? He says, yeah, of course. He says, do you really love me? Peter, do you know what real love is? 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. I want you to go back to the statement. If we love one another, God abides in us. I want you to think of someone that you don't like very much. Think of someone that you would just soon never see again. Think of someone who has harmed you, who has spoken evil of you. I want you to think of that name, and I want you to insert the name where it says one another. If we love, what's their name? God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. It's easy to love someone that loves us. Verse 13, by this we know we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. 1 John 4:20, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Verse 21, and this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love, what's that name? Also. Well, I guess I'm okay because I love everybody, and especially people in my church. I really love them. Well, just keep reading. James 2 and verse 8. James chapter 2 and verse 8. James 2 and verse 8 says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. And Jesus gave a parable about who is my neighbor, who do I have to love? And it was the man who was there by the side of the road that you didn't know that you loved, that was showing love. Verse 9, but if you show partiality, the New Living Translation says, if you favor some people over others, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. And verse 10, whosoever keeps the whole law but stumbles in one point is guilty of all. He who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. How did Jesus define murder? Jesus defined murder as denigrating your fellow man, as talking evil about your fellow man, of calling them worthless, is how he defined murder. So we can say, this person doesn't keep the Sabbath, and we can murder them. Who's more righteous or who's more unrighteous? Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you murder, you become a transgressor of the law. And then verse 12 of James 2 says, speak and act as people who will be judged by the law that sets us free. We will be judged by our speech as well as our actions. Verse 13, for God will not show mercy when he judges the person who has not been merciful. But mercy triumphs over judgment. You've got 3 months to live, and he says he'll be merciful to you if you are merciful. Okay, I think I'm getting it. But how does this whole church thing help me understand what you're talking about? How does going through all this stuff show me how God wants me to demonstrate love and to actually speak it and do it? James 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? You want to figure this out? Do you want to see what God wants of you? James 3:13 said, let him show it by his good life and by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth. It's up to each of us to look in our hearts and see if there is selfish ambition or bitter envy. Look into our hearts and don't deny it. Verse 15, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. Does this whole church thing teach you anything of that? Verse 17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving. Look over the past several months to see how we are. And God gives us opportunity to do better. It's considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Verse 18, it says, and those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a great harvest of righteousness. And must we not all ask ourselves if what we personally have planted is a seed of peace among ourselves, among our brethren, at work, or wherever we are? What is going to grow as a result of what I have said or done? Well, you know, we preach the gospel of the coming kingdom of God, and we go to the feast to learn about how to bring peace to the world. And we talk about the millennium and the great white throne judgment, and I'm starting to see that's not good enough. That just preaching about it doesn't really get it. So why can't we get along? Why do we have these endless splits that occur in the church of God and among ourselves? Why does this happen? James 4 and verse 1. This is a scripture that we've read for years, and I've been glad I didn't live back at that time when those people were like that. And then we begin looking at a scripture as in a mirror. James 4, verse 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? In other words, what are not seeds of peace? It says, don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill. We talked of what killing entails, and you covet. But you can't have what you want, and so you quarrel and fight. You don't have because you don't ask God, and when you do ask, you don't receive because you ask it with the wrong motives, that you might spend it on your pleasures. Yeah, that's right. I see the scripture that perfectly describes those other guys. Look, God will take care of the other guys, whoever the other guys are. You need to take care of you. This is something God wants you to see, personally, individually, so that you can be right with God. Okay, so what should I do then? I mean, give me something practical that I can actually do that shows love. I can actually do that shows humility. I can actually do that shows that I love God's way. And I love God's kingdom. And I want to sow seeds of peace. James 4:6. But he gives us more grace. That's what why the scripture says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. New Living Translation in verse 7 says, so humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Verse 8, come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. I got to get in it or get out. Don't be hot or cold, the song sang about that. Verse 9, let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before God, and then he will lift you up in honor. There's not much to rejoice about for what we have done. Verse 11, don't speak evil against each other. Dear brothers and sisters, if you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law of love. But your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you, or whether somebody's so much worse that I get to criticize them and get a free ride. Or whether I get to publish something that implies something I know nothing about against somebody else. Our job is to obey the law, not judge whether it applies to us. Verse 12, God alone who gave the law is the judge. He alone has the power to save or destroy. So what right do you have to judge your brother? Or even your leader, or another group. Of all the things we can do, of all the things we must do, of all that God desires of us, there is one thing that we must internalize as God's people. We have to do it. 1 Corinthians 13, and we'll close with this morning or this afternoon. 1 Corinthians 13. There's a lot of things that we can do. There's a lot of things we must do. You don't do one thing and leave the other undone. But 1 Corinthians 13 is quite clear. Verse 1, if I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, I could give great sermons or sermonettes or write something really fantastic that would really have a great effect on somebody. And I can do all this stuff, but I didn't love others, I'd only be a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, if I knew exactly what's happening in the Mideast and why and how everything is forming and be able to understand Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah and Revelation and Daniel and all these things and put it together and know exactly what's happening. If I could do all that, if I understood all of God's secret plans, what's God doing here? Why is he allowing this? What's happening? And I possessed all knowledge, Hebrew and Greek and all of the scripture, And if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. Verse 3, if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body and I could boast about it and I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. What must we have in addition to all those other things? 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13, so these three things continue forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love.